into his business, and the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. But the king was enraged and sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. Then he said to his slaves, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast." And those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good, and the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw there a man not dressed in wedding clothes, and he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." Then the Pharisees went and counseled together how they might trap him in what he said. And they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are truthful and teach the way of God in truth, and defer to no one, for you are not partial to any. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to give a poll tax to Caesar or not?" But Jesus perceived their malice and said, "Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the poll tax." And they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said to him, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And hearing this, they marveled, and leaving him, they went away. And on that day, some Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and questioned him, saying, "Teacher, Moses said if a man dies having no children, his brother as next of kin shall marry his wife and raise up an offspring to his brother. Now there were seven brothers with us, and the first married and died, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. So also the second and the third, down to the seventh, and last of all, the woman died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife of the seven shall she be? For they all had her." But Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not understanding the scriptures or the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. But regarding the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken to you by God, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living.'" And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. But when the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they gathered themselves together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." And he said to them, "Then how does David in the spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put thine enemies beneath thy feet.' If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one was able to answer him a word, nor did anyone dare from that day on to ask him another question. Amen. Hey, Ken, can you get the lights? Can you guys hear me okay? It's all right? Okay, so Matthew chapter 22. Incidentally, we're sorry that the printer, this copy machine's invitations, and so people received the invitation already, and they said, "Yes, I'm going to come." And all they need to do now is wait for the next invitation, you know. And this is when the slaves go out and say, "Okay, the meal is ready, everything is all set to go." And then they would go out, and then people would come to the feast. They would basically just be sitting at home waiting for this second invitation. And so it wasn't like they received no prior warning, or, you know, they didn't know before. They actually knew before, and they were just supposed to wait until that time came, you know. And so they came out, and notice, you might miss it, but notice the generosity of this person, right, of this landowner. Most people, when they give a feast, right, they have what they call the fattened calf. And the fattened calf is a very specific. I think you got to turn that one on, right? You have to turn this on. Keep it on, don't you? Oh, okay, okay. Actually, you should turn it on because more light comes out, right? And so They had this thing called a fattened calf, and they would basically choose one calf, and it was primarily set for celebrations. And they would really feed this thing, you know, like this thing didn't work, you know, it didn't plow the field, didn't do anything, and their whole job with this calf was to eat, right? And this was the big heifer. I mean, this was going to be the big cow where, you know, everyone's going to just devour, you know, during this feast. Notice the landowner here, he actually just doesn't give the fattened calf, he gives the fattened livestock. In other words, he's got the whole livestock prepared. You know, usually it's just one. You know, and generally how they would do it is they wanted the meat to be tender and all these things, so and juicy. And the fattened calf would not last very long time. You know, and so you know they choose one fattened calf. You know, whatever, if it's not done through for a couple of years, they'd have to get another fattened calf. You know, and kill this one off. And so this guy had fattened livestock. You know, I mean, this guy was ready to party, right? This person. I'm not getting you guys hungry right now. You know, this person was really preparing this feast. I mean, you know, and not just, talking about abundance of food. And it says it's butchered, it's on the way. And then they came and gave, you know, different excuses. And these are probably two of the most common excuses that you will find, you know, in relation to, you know, people committing to God or these things. And one says they went to their farm. In other words, you know, I need to go take care of my wealth. You know, I need to take care of, you know, my possessions. You know, I don't know if I necessarily want to do this. And the other excuse was I need to take care of my business. In other words, it was work. It was wealth and it was work. You know, and I mean, especially here in Hong Kong, which wealth and work kind of, you know, are the gods that run this place. You know, we ought to be very careful that those things do not come, right, against our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and what he's calling us to do. I've seen people, even in church in the last few years, just get hammered at their work, you know. And, I mean, that's one aspect, but there's another aspect of setting the right priorities in their life. You know, it's interesting, you know, people come and they talk to me and says, oh, you know, Pastor, I can't make Sundays, you know, my boss, da, da, da. You know, but yet at the same time, I find people that doing the same exact job, you know, that are working the same hours that do find a way, you know, to make it to have a Sabbath. You know, it's just, and, you know, and to me, the only thing that says it's about the heart. You know, it's not about time. It's not about energy. It's about the heart. You know, people have a heart to worship God and, you know, and to create Sabbath, and people don't, you know, and they give all kinds of excuses, you know. And so, I mean, I can actually keep going with that, but I'm just going to stop, you know. And it's just amazing. I've also seen people that get blessed with new jobs and, you know, God advances them in their career, and all of a sudden, they start disappearing. You know, all of a sudden, you know, they're just so consumed and they got to do a better job and do this and, you know, and thus negate the very blessing by which God had given to them. You know, and you know, they continue that, you know, on and on and on, and you're going to see the overflow of the negligence in their relation with God. And it will happen eventually, right? And so hopefully it doesn't happen to us, right? You know, be careful of our wealth and be careful of our work. Right, that it's not an obstacle before the Lord Jesus Christ and what he does. You know, and then they continue on in this thing, and the next passage is the tribute to Caesar, and this is now the beginning of you know, obviously his ministry in Jerusalem. Right, remember his ministry in Galilee and Judea and stuff, and it was mostly about what? It was about miracles. It was people coming to listen to him, they received, God bless, he healed them, you know, set them free. And now he gets to Jerusalem, and now it's all about the mind, right? Now these guys just want to debate, you know. They, you know what I mean? It's like he's among the intellectuals now, and Jesus does debate. It's not like he says, ah, you know. And I mean, he comes to this place, and actually, I'm going to step ahead a little bit, but you know, when he talks to the lawyer, you know, he says in verse 37, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind." Actually, the original translation in Deuteronomy 6 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul," and the word is all your might. Right? And Jesus exchanges the might for mind, thus appealing to, you know, a society that is very intellectual, right? And so kind of just add that in there. And so he gets to these guys, and you know, they're going to try to trap him. And so they, you know, bring these disciples, right? Because they don't want to do it themselves. It's a little too blatant. So they send the underlings, and they send the Herodians. And the Herodians are the ones that obviously support Herod, you know, which is apostasy. You can't do that, you know, during this time. And so these guys come, and they test him, you know, saying, you know, who's, you know, should we give taxes? Should we do these things? And Jesus very slyly says, give me a coin. They show a coin. You know, and the coin simply has the inscription of Caesar. In other words, it belongs to Caesar. You know, and I reckon when Jesus was there, he probably gave the coin back to him, and he just pointed to every single person that was there. But he says, render to God the things that are God's. See, the only thing Caesar can do is put his inscription on a coin. Big deal. But God has put his inscription on every single one of us. We are created in the image of God. And so Jesus went above and beyond what these guys were expecting an answer for. And it says they were marveled and they went away. And next thing you know, here's another wave of intellectuals, the Sadducees. The Sadducees were this elite religious group of people that they didn't believe in the supernatural. You know, they didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in the resurrection. It'd be very similar to maybe in Christian circles, it would be like a hyper, what's the correct word I want to use that doesn't offend everyone? You know, a hyper-cessationist, you know, person that believes that the gifts of the Spirit stopped and the miraculous don't work anymore. It was only used to authenticate the message and, you know, the gospel and these things. So these guys were kind of hyper-cessationist. And so they come and say, you know, and this is basically one of their main arguments why there's no resurrection, because it's just too complicated for them. You know, you have a brother comes, he marries, he's got seven brothers, you know, the woman's the kiss of death, right? And everyone dies, you know, one after the other, you know. And so they ask the question, well, at the end of it, whose wife is she? And Jesus says, man, you have no clue of what you're talking about. You don't understand the Bible. Neither do you understand the power of God. You know, it says, for in the resurrection, they neither marry or are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. You know, and then this is the kicker, verse 32. He says, have you not read? He says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Right? Or according to the Sadducees, in their line of thinking, you know, why would God say something like that? In other words, is he a God of the dead? No, he's the God of the living. Right? Thus validating the fact that there is a resurrection. If God is going to continually call himself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you know, are you saying that he is the God of the dead? You know, and totally shut these guys up. You know, I mean, and, you know, and again, it says the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teaching, right? I mean, he really put these guys in their place. And so then the Pharisees heard that he had messed up the Sadducees, and they come with their own little argument, you know, which is the greatest commandment? You know, I mean, you know, what is this all about? Right, and obviously he comes and he answers correctly, you know, and then he gets to the whole idea of the son and David, and you know, and thus, you know, after this whole thing, he says, man, no one would dare ask him another question after that day. You know, intellectually, you know, all these traps they had set for him, no one could touch him. So let's close our eyes a bit today. You know, at some point, I get really sick and tired of people talking about how Christianity is anti-intellectual. You know, that Christianity is a fairy tale, it doesn't make sense. You know, if you really get into the scriptures, you recognize how logical it truly is. But that's not necessarily what I want to deal with today, right? I mean, you are made in God's image, every single one of us. You know, and with that, you know, kind of the beginning of the text, you know, are there any obstacles that get in the way So anything that comes in, you know, is it our work? Is it our wealth? Our priorities and our focus, are they in the right place? Are we working to honor God? You know, are you called in your work? Or are you driven? And know that God wants to bless you in your profession, much more than you even imagine. But He needs to know that He can trust you. And for the eyes of the Lord seek through and forth throughout the whole earth, that He may strongly support those hearts that are completely His. God is looking for people to strongly support. Right? But He's got to know that your heart belongs to Him. What would happen if God were to pour incredible blessing upon us and we're not ready to receive it? We'll be corrupted by it. So let's go before the Lord today and really hash out our work, our profession. Yeah? Am I doing this for myself? Am I doing this for Him? Is He receiving glory in how I work? In the way I treat people? In the way I handle my finances? Well, let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Let Him reorient you. You know, are you lazy at work? Let's pray together. That same way, let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray that we'd have a heart to serve God and to serve others. Right? That in the opportunities that God gives to us at our work, at home, or wherever it may be, that the Lord would just really bless just a heart to give, a heart to bless other people. And let's just pray for ourselves in that way, that we'd be the servant of all. Let's pray for our Experience of God retreat. We're going tonight. So let's pray that God would really minister to us and that we'd really experience Him through all the activities and things we have planned. Please pray for all the members, for Tracy, Marcia, Charles, Pastor Sam Kim, and myself. The Lord really meet with us and would release His gifts upon us, and God would really take us to another level in our experience of Him. So let's just pray for the retreat this weekend. pray for the launch of our morning service. Let's pray for new families and pray for all the preparations and people to really serve in this ministry. Let's pray for the youth and the new Sunday school. Pastor Sam and Pastor Nate, ask for God's hand upon them and real strategy and the teachers that they're recruiting right now and their training times. And let's just really lift up all the aspects of this service and all the redecoration and all these things that go on, and even setting up the video here in the sanctuary. Let's ask God to really bless the people involved in serving in these tasks. And let's pray for the new launch. Let's go to our member prayer focus. Let's pray for our brother Matt. There we go. Let's pray that he would draw nearer to God, that he would know him and his love, so that he may be filled up with the fullness of God. Pray that he would love him and be passionate for him, and pray for spiritual breakthrough. Pray that he would humble himself during this time of fasting and learn to be humble before God and other people, even after the fast. Pray that he'd be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ in his new workplace, to have a good relationships with colleagues, and to perform well, humbly relying on the Holy Spirit. Pray for his dad, who is currently traveling in northern China. Pray for protection physically, emotionally, spiritually, that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit and do all that God wants him to do during this trip. And pray for all the people that he will meet and minister to, and for those he'll work with for translation. He'll be back in Feb. Pray for mom's health. She's had minor diabetes for a couple months. She's getting better, praise God. Pray for complete healing and a healthier lifestyle even afterwards. And pray that he would know from the deepest heart that God is absolutely trustworthy in his life. Let's just cover Matt. Thank you, God. Let's pray for our brother Tom. Let's pray for his dad, for his health and prosperity in his business. Pray for his mom, for her health, a family history of high blood pressure. For his brother, for success in his new job, and he'd find a good church in Korea where he can grow and experience God. And overall, that their family would break through any barriers or walls between them and come together as a loving family who loves God together. Pray for reconciliation among relatives, especially between grandmother and aunt, to be resolved. for him, pray for guidance, wisdom, and vision in his job and career, and find out whether or not this job is where God wants him to be, and if it isn't, that he would show him open doors to step through. Pray for good time management, especially the area of dealing with friends outside of church. And he says, I'd like to spend quality time with them and use those times as an opportunity to share with them the gospel. It's been very difficult trying to balance everything out, and I know that God has placed me, these friends in my life, for a purpose. So let's just really pray for effective witness for Tom. Let's pray for Andrea. Let's pray for the salvation of her brother, and that he can open his heart to accept the Lord and be able to know the beauty of having a relationship with God. Pray for her mom's health and her happiness, and pray that she'd have a closer relationship with God, and that she'd really be able to glorify Jesus in everything she does, and especially in wisdom in dealing with relationships with coworkers, and strength for dealing with tough tasks in her job. Right, so let's just cover Andrea. Lord, we thank you for this morning, God, and Lord, we ask that we would continually, Lord, live lives that are, Lord, glorifying to you, Lord, and help us to prioritize, Lord, and help not our wealth nor our work, God, get in the way, Lord, of our relationship with you, God, and our service to the church. And so watch over us, God, and especially be with our little group as we go off to our retreat this weekend. Lord, I pray that your spirit, God, would just lead and guide and just pour out among each one of us, Lord, and just bless, God, all these candidates that are going. Lord, just watch over us, God. We thank you for the privilege, God, of being able to serve you, Lord. And just, Lord, we just ask you to bind our will to your will this day and use us in some way, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a good day today at work.